Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, we're happy to welcome back to the program Master Gardener Jen Peterzelka. Welcome back, Jen.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here.
Well, hope you had a great Christmas. And I think if you're probably like a whole lot of other folks out there, you probably got a gift card or two. As a gift?
Absolutely. I got them and I gave them.
So our listeners are probably also on that receiving end of getting a gift card. So let's give some ideas. You know, if the card wasn't anything specific for like a restaurant or a particular store, maybe they've got, you know, a generic Visa gift card, for example. And so thinking about what to spend it on, I think we've got some good ideas, right?
We absolutely do. We talked earlier in December, I believe it was, about great gifts for gardeners. And of course, the big box stores and some of the online gift cards as well. This is a perfect time to go order those rose gloves, for instance, that we talked about. We'll be looking at pruning really soon, and those gloves are wonderful. They're very flexible, especially for the ladies. It's hard to find gloves that fit your hands, and you need that good fit because you need the flexibility when you're pruning those prickly plants. So that's a great idea. Also a good time to invest in a new pair of bypass pruners, which are they're absolutely necessary for all your pruning needs, whether it's roses or trees, any of your plants. So those are a great idea. And of course, you can also go out and if you're talking about big box stores, you can go buy some nice winter plants to perk up your garden mm-hmm. and add some ornamental color as well.
I think that's great. And you know what? One thing that I like to do, Jan, is also look over at the clearance section at the end of the holiday season. And a lot of times there's a lot of holiday plants or bulb kits that didn't get sold.
Absolutely.
For Christmas gifts. And that's actually how I started playing with the amaryllis. Is there was a clearance bulb kit there on the side, and I thought, well, I'll take that home. And it was already starting to kind of sprout and germinate, and it was really fun to be able to see that first time around. Everything was all self-contained. It has the coconut core in there, which is the potting soil mm-hmm. that they use, the bulb, and then a nice decorative container. So if people wanted to kind of experiment and don't have a lot of experience with bulbs, they can certainly try that without hurting their bank account.
That's right. But clearance is the best.
There you go.
And, you know, the first time I ever saw an amaryllis, I was amazed. They're absolutely stunningly beautiful bulbs.
Right. Exactly. And then that brings that holiday color into January. And sometimes you can even stretch it into February.
Or just color in general.
You are. Yeah,
just color in general. Because this is kind of a dull, brownish type of season
exactly.
outdoors.
And it's nice after exactly. you've, you know, by this time you're getting ready to, maybe you're getting tired of your holiday decorations and you can take those down and you think, well, now my house looks really drab. And but I have this beautiful amaryllis that is still sitting here and it grows right under your nose. They grow so quickly and they give you that beautiful bloom time for, and it does, it lasts for quite a while. And then the best part of all is you can take it and plant it in your garden, and you'll be amazed at how well it will do. It will bloom for you the following year if you care for it properly.
That one doesn't need to be chilled in a refrigerator like a tulip, right?
No, that's a tropical
that's
plant.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so you're good with that. So
it's the plant that keeps on giving.
And going back to pruners, usually what's the lifespan of a pruner? Because I think probably most people are like me and they don't normally do a lot of maintenance on their pruners. They see a little gunk on it and like they'll wipe it off on their shirt and then they'll go and keep using it. So usually what's the lifespan for a good pair of bypass?
That's the key. Well, a lot, it depends on your maintenance. And we talk a lot about maintaining all of your garden tools. And it's really important. And if you're bored and you don't have anything to do, that's something you could go out in the garage or your shed and really take a look at all of your tools and see how they're doing. I have had my bypass pruners since I graduated as a master gardener in 2010, but I'm careful. The only thing is the rubber handles are falling apart, but I have a couple of pair, and I'm really careful to keep them clean. I oil them to make sure that they work properly, and after I prune something, I use wipes. I'll use a disinfecting wipe or a bleach wipe to clean off those blades. And then that way you ensure that you do not carry any potential disease from one plant to another. And it's real easy because you just pop them out. You know, you keep that in that tool caddy that we talked about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Another great idea for gifts and using your gift cards. And there again, like Denise mentioned, you know, keyword here is on sale and clearance. And I, you know, I'm all for that. I think I.
Well, I want people to be successful. And
exactly.
Sometimes you don't have to invest a lot of money to just try new things. That's the biggest take home point on that. But no, that's a great point. Those Clorox or disinfecting
wipes
that you would use mm-hmm. for your countertop are the best thing to use. Mm-hmm. Some people use bleach, alcohol, but that can be a little, you know, detrimental to the plants mm-hmm. that you're actually going to touch. And bleach may stain your clothes, even though you're wearing your grubby clothes outside. It doesn't
exactly.
matter, but this makes it just that much more convenient. And yeah, you can have some really long-lived shovels that
exactly.
you've had that sometimes you only have to replace the handle.
Exactly.
You know, now they've gone from wooden handles to fiberglass handles that are much easier on your hands as well. So I think it's all just a matter of how well you take care of them and store them all year mm-hmm. round.
Well, you were talking, Jan, about, you know, you got nothing to do, right? And so this is probably the time of year where there's not much to do. The holidays are pretty much over. New Year's coming up. That's the next big one. But I don't really think that involves a whole lot of
right.
preparation unless you're buying a lot of alcohol. But, you know, families probably on their way out. What can you do with this extra time now that everybody's gone?
Absolutely. Well, and We're all tired this time of the year. You know, the holidays can be really stressful. And you, like you say, you have family coming in, you're cooking and you're cleaning and wrapping and getting ready, and then you're taking everything down. So it's a time of rest. It's a time of rest for our yards, too. It's a time of dormancy. And our plants need that, and we need that. But it's also cold. So you're thinking, oh, man, I don't really want to go outside and work. So this is – you're going to start getting a lot of seed catalogs. Some of those books that we talked about that make nice gifts, this is a great time to sit down and look through the pictures and then really start your garden renovation as far as making a plan. You've got to have a plan for your garden. And I like to change mine up every year. And so this is a great time when it is cold and you really don't want to get out there and work. There's still plenty to do in the yard, and it's more of a maintenance thing. It may not give you the big return that you expect in the spring, but that's normal. That's part of our plants need to rest and recover a little bit. So those are the things that I like to do, especially in January when I'm tired. I'm ready for a little break, and that gives me something. I still feel productive, and then I've kind of set myself right. on a good course for spring.
Well, luckily this colder weather isn't necessarily as bad as colder weather up north, right? Because our ground doesn't freeze. Even though we may have freezing temperatures outside, our soil is still at a good temperature where it's not really going to kill anything off, right?
Right, exactly. And contrary to popular belief, fall and even early winter is a great time to put dormant plants into the ground. Because our ground doesn't freeze, you want to make sure that you know they're dormant. Get them in the ground, plant them up where you want them, and then water them thoroughly. So even though our plants are not doing or actively growing at the time, the roots still need to be hydrated. And moist soil, believe it or not, actually stays warmer than dry soil. And that's just part of, you know, the soil balance in there. And then if you have a container plants, you want to make sure that you protect them because that soil acts as a buffer. So it kind of buffers those temperatures as well. But when you're in a container, there's nothing much more than that cold air right outside that thin plastic or terracotta pot wall. So you want to make sure that you keep your plants hydrated. And for those plants that are going to be, you know, evergreen or in containers with still their leaves on, I think it's important to look at how that, you know, hydrated cell, if there's water inside that cell, it's plump. You know, it's hydrated, and that's going to withstand the freezing temperatures a lot better because what you have in there is that little cell, and you can see my movements here in the studio.
We're making a circle.
Working you through
with
this.
Hands.
Working you through this, listeners, on that little soup, if you will, that's inside the cell itself, and that's going to have a lot more antifreeze, if you will, than a dehydrated cell without any water to make that plump in there. So it's kind of counterintuitive. Intuitive if you think about it, but you want to make sure that you give your plants a nice drink of water, depending on what kind of plants it is, every 2 weeks to a month. So keep on.
I guess the larger the plant, the less frequent.
The larger the plant. Exactly. So your mature trees, your grass, once a month is great. Give it a nice deep watering. Your container plants, kind of keep a closer eye on those. You don't want them to be soaking soggy wet because obviously that evaporation is not going to happen.
And you're not going to be watering them as frequently as you did in the summer.
Right, exactly.
But you don't want to neglect them.
Right, exactly. So it's that little happy balance on there, that nice moist soil to keep the plants hydrated.
I don't know, Jan, once we were talking, I guess it was a few weeks ago, we didn't get a chance to talk about it on the air, but geraniums, you like me,
yes,
are big fans of geraniums.
I am.
And they're still looking pretty good right now. If you've been taking care of them when we have those cold temperatures overnight, they're still flowering.
They really do well. And they like the cooler temperature. If you are a geranium lover, you will know what I mean. In the summertime, they just get droopy and they look so sad and people will tend to pitch them. Hang on to them because you can take people on a tour of your greenhouse where the geraniums are absolutely gorgeous in December and January. And you do need to keep them hydrated, like Denise said. But remember that geraniums are actually semi-succulents. And so they do not like wet feet any time of the year. Hmm. And I know I talk about this a lot. So many things die from overwatering as much as with underwatering. And when you have your geranium, or especially if you don't have a greenhouse, or you don't have a place to put things, I have had a lot of people ask me questions because I do a lot with container gardening. You know, well, what do I do? How am I going to keep the root ball warm and so forth? You can take newspaper and wrap it around that pot and then use some bubble wrap over that, and you'd be surprised at how that insulates that pot.
And chances are you got a lot of bubble wrap right now if you opened a lot of Christmas gifts.
Absolutely. And if not, you can even purchase it, and I buy it in rolls for that very reason. And it works very, very well. Don't be so concerned if the leaves fall. That's okay. Don't worry about so much about what's going on top of the pot as what's going on down in the bottom. That root ball is, you know, that's the heart of that plant. And hibiscus is a great example. I have one that I've had for several years. It blooms prolifically. It's beautiful. And I noticed just recently that it's taken quite a hit with these colder temperatures. But I'm not worried because I know that I can keep that root ball wet. And that's another great idea when we do with container gardening. We talk about doing a pot in a pot where you do a smaller pot and plant it inside of a larger one. And that helps with the insulation as well. And tucking air conditioning pads or styrofoam between the pots is really helpful because that really keeps that root ball warm. And it'll come back for you in the spring. You just have to be patient.
I hadn't really thought about that, about insulating your pots with that type of material. So that's another good way for people to recycle some of their packing material that they may have scattered all over their living rooms probably right now. Stack it in a bag and keep it for your potted plants. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, Jan Peterzelka, it's been terrific having you back on the show, and I think we're going to have you back for our first show of the new year. So
good.
We're looking forward to having you back.
Thanks so much, Norma.
We also want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.